League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, That Time When edition. Now, it feels weird to be doing an intro like that and not have a video. This is just for audio, so welcome, everybody. I am welcoming my voice to your ears. We are here with That Time When, and of course, alongside me, you heard his little awe, is the founder, Tom Bellingham, and new father. He's still a new father. It's still new to me. I'm just going to keep announcing it. How are you, my friend?
The father. I'm good, thanks. Looking forward to reminiscing about my childhood, maybe. There's going to be some people that weren't even... Well, no, they would be born when this race was on. I hope they weren't.
And no, that's... Tommy's childhood wasn't 2015, just so you're aware. I know he's got a baby face. But you are how old, Tommy?
33.
What a joke. What a joke. You've paused time. Anyway, let's talk about Spain and the history, as we are coming up to race week. We are in race week. Race week. It's difficult to say quickly. For the Spanish Grand Prix. So we thought we'd look back over some time where the Spanish Grand Prix basically got popular. And I know that's weird to say for Formula One fans that absolutely despise the Catalunya circuit, but...
Imagine such a thing. So popular, it hosted two races and people actually cared that much, yeah.
I know, yeah. So it hosted two races. Spain hosted two races, both of which were...
Well, imagine... The outrage, it is kind of outrage. I know they're now three, but even when there were two, people were like, why are there two races in America? The outrage of that. Imagine now, of all the races, Spain being obviously, you know, it's a great country with some motorsport heritage now. But yeah, it's not exactly the most popular. People don't look forward to the Spanish Grand Prix, do they? They don't set their calendars for that race.
No, they don't. You just look on social media and all you have to do is change one corner and all of a sudden it becomes a worldly track. But alas, we don't have that change just yet. So let's talk about Catalunya then. It first hosted the Spanish Grand Prix in 1991 and it wasn't a popular race then. But for different reasons, it literally, like, nobody really cared about it until a certain someone who is still racing in Formula One today, and we're talking about his success in 2003, making it a huge race sellout. It's, of course, Fernando Alonso. That's almost 20 years ago, Tommy.
Oh, my word. That is depressing.
20 years ago, and Fernando is still in Formula One today.
Yeah, when you think of it that way.
Potentially around for a few more years as well.
Yeah, when you look at it that way, that is crazy.
It's ridiculous.
But he's still here.
And he's still very good as well. His comeback has been... almost accepted as, it's Fernando Alonso. But you look back at Michael Schumacher's comeback and it didn't go so well. And that's probably a like for like in terms of, although Fernando did have a bit more hybrid experience back in the Honda GP2 engine era. Anyway, I somehow made it about Michael Schumacher. That's impressive. Well done.
Standard stuff.
and of course, not just the success in 2003, but of course, Alonso becoming world champion in 2005 and 2006. And all of a sudden, Spain had F1 fever. They just absolutely lapped it up.
I'd say it's not too dissimilar to Max Verstappen nowadays with the Dutch fans, because if you think in the UK, we're quite spoiled of, we do get an occasional a champion every now and then. You know, we've had a lot of great drivers, world champions. Same with other countries like, Germany had Michael Schumacher, Sebastian Vettel. But if you think of a country... obviously, like the Netherlands with Max, it's like the first time they've ever had a proper amazing driver. So they've just got complete F1 fever. And this is exactly what happened with Fernando Alonso, because when I actually was 12, rather than looking 12,
you look 12, yeah.
I actually went to the Spanish Grand Prix. So 2001, I went as a kid, and it was not very well attended. I just remember it being, obviously, it was a very long time ago, but having been to races like Imola and Monza and stuff around that time when, it was Schumi fever, there was no buzz around that race. It was just like a lot of, not really much of a buzz, not selling out general admission. It just a bit of a flat race, really. And Alonso was racing then. He was racing with Bernardi, but obviously he was a backmarker. And then a couple of years later, joined Renault. And yeah, I think he got pole in like second race or something. That year's Spanish Grand Prix, he was fighting Schumacher for the win. And it was like, oh, wow, we have a Spanish driver. And F1 really did just explode. It went from no one really caring about it to not even back page news, like front page news, absolutely obsessive. That era as well, Alonso, the part of Spain where Alonso's from, their flag is like blue and yellow. So, and obviously the Renault was blue and yellow. Yeah. So it was just a sea of like the light blue and yellow Renault, a bit like, the Tifosi, you get the red at Monza and the orange at Zandvoort. It was like that for Alonso. And the race just became so, so popular because they had Fernando Alonso.
So you went in 2001.
Yeah.
Did Schumi win?
He did. He won. You know how I always have a bit of a Ferrari jinx in a good way that helped
Don't
Ferrari.
Don't tell me you started making a social graphic back in 2001. This
is actually quite funny that you mention this because this is obviously who I've got it from because there were two people in front of us with who'd had a bet on between Mick Hakkinen and Schumacher. And one of them said, Hakkinen's going to win. And Hakkinen was leading until the last lap of the race. And my dad leant over to him and went, "Ha, your money's safe, mate." And then literally his engine blew up. And Michael Schumacher took the lead on the last lap. So,
wow.
I didn't know jinx were genetic, but clearly they are.
God, you've got a power there, Tommy.
Yeah. You
really do. You need to be careful with that, mate. Great power and all that good stuff. Jeez. I'm actually really jealous that you've seen a Michael Schumacher victory as well. That makes me feel physically ill because I never saw a Schumacher victory. Sad times. Anyway, moving on again. Somehow made it about Schumi. Of course, so there was that big popularity. And with that came the talk of a second Spanish race. And if there was ever a track to be worse than Barcelona, they picked Valencia, which was in 2007. They signed a new street circuit in Valencia to run as the European Grand Prix alongside the Spanish. Although I do say that Valencia's a terrible track. That's where Schumi got his comeback podium. So we take those. This is the Schumi podcast, I promise. So the official layout for the Valencia European Grand Prix was confirmed in July 2007. And the circuit used the roads around the city's harbour and America's Cup port area. So it was, could you say it was a bit restricted with what they were working with?
Yes, I guess you could probably argue that it was, because it would have been pre-Abu Dhabi, which feels like Abu Dhabi's been on ages, but almost like one of the first proper tilkified circuit, lot of 90 degree turns, loads of runoff, building it around a specific area as opposed to just doing a good track. So, wanting to make sure that they have this bridge in it and this harbour and use the fishing, whatever it was, the fishing market as the pit lane and things like that. So, it was an interesting circuit, to say the least.
Wasn't great for racing, I think it's fair to say. Wasn't Valencia where we saw Mark Webber fly?
It was.
Yeah.
That was probably about the back of not much happened there, but that was one of the only things.
Yeah, I was going to say that's one of the main things I remember. And of course, Maldonado and Hamilton crashing and a certain someone getting a podium. What are you saying? And then the first race happened in 2008 and it was run in August. So they were trying to melt everybody, as of course, August in Spain, very, very hot indeed. And a certain someone, again, this seems just to be a podcast about all of Tommy's experiences at a race, but you were there.
I was the first European Grand Prix at Valencia. I promise that I didn't actually go to loads of races. I went to like one every other year when I was a kid, but they just happened to fall into this. And yeah, it was a boring race.
He won that one, 2008. So that would have been, McLaren. Is that Lewis?
No, it was Massa. He led from start to finish.
Okay. Yeah,
I remember it being extremely hot. Not a lot happened other than Alonso had damage on the very first lap and retired. And I remember people leaving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a football match when they're 4-0 down.
And one of my experiences actually was that obviously this was an era where you had almost all classic tracks on the calendar. So your Imolas, your Spas, things like that, Silverstone. And this was the first track I'd ever been to where you had zones where it's like, normally you used to general admission where you can just go anywhere you want. And this track, it was really weird because a lot of people weren't used to it. And it was like, here's this, you've got to stay in this zone. Like your ticket is only available to here. So you couldn't wander the track. And I remember seeing like a merchandise stand and it wasn't in our zone, so I couldn't buy merchandise. And I don't think it was particularly great organization. And also I was there on a coach trip with a few other F1 fans. And I remember a lot of them complaining that, which is probably not, it's probably just standard stuff now, but they were all complaining that essentially they paid an absolute fortune for a grandstand ticket. And it was behind like 40 meters of runoff area, not 40 meters, probably more than that, like 500 meters of runoff area. But that probably is true for quite a lot of circuits now. But at the time, I think they were quite shocked that they're like, I am so far away from these cars because there's so much runoff here. But yeah, not a great race.
Reminds me of, I think it's the grandstands at Silverstone where they extended the gravel on the left where the old pit straight used to be. So they pushed the grandstand quite a lot further back. Is that, I guess it's that kind of thing where you go, well, actually, I'm not very close to the action at all. And it'd be better for me to just watch it on the screen.
Yeah.
See, of course, we mentioned Valencia became notorious for being boring. Drivers complaining of difficulty of passing. And then in 2009... it set an unwanted F1 record, Tommy. What was that?
Can you guess what that record is?
No overtakes in a race?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, smashed it.
It's actually quite funny because it's only happened... So this would have been the third time in F1 history.
And were the other two Monaco?
It's only happened 5 times.
4 of them in Monaco?
2 of them were Monaco. So you could argue that this actually is probably the only normal race that's ever happened. So if you think that 2 of them were Monaco, one of them was this 2009 European Grand Prix, one of them was the 2005 US Grand Prix, which was the farcical one with the 6 cars, and the other was, of course, the 2021 Belgian Grand Prix, where they're behind the safety car. So this is probably the only, you could argue, the only race in history, like a proper, because Monaco, you kind of expect it.
You're trying to say that
it gets a free pass, come on. It's disqualifying, isn't it? But I like it. not a single overtake. In 2009, which wasn't actually a bad season either, so not a great look.
Good. Not good at all. And of course, don't forget, back in 2009, there was no DRS until 2011, where DRS was introduced, and it was still a dull race. So it improved a little bit, had a few overtakes, right? But not zero. So, it's a stonks.
It's something. It's actually quite funny because people will now get flashbacks to Miami. Miami was 2 weeks ago, but very similar to Miami because the drivers that about complaining about the passing, the biggest problem was that it's a street track. Doesn't get used much. So there's one racing line. And as soon as you go off the racing line, it's really dirty and dusty and you can't brake. So drivers complained about that. And then the other thing they complained about was the fact that the straights weren't straight. So a classic Tilke track where he's built it around a thing rather than thinking about the racing. And, you know, the main straight, which can be said for a lot of Tilke tracks these days, and so where we just, you know, it's painful, but a 90 degree turn that then leads into a straight. So by the time the 90 degree turns completely separate them out, and if you imagine no DRS, Formula One wasn't great for overtaking back then either. And yeah, not a lot of overtaking. So the drivers were not happy with it.
Not happy. And neither were the fans, really, no. Were they? For one reason or another, whether it's because of the grandstands or just because it was just a dull race. I remember even playing on the F1 game and thinking, this is just a shocker. It just wasn't. It wasn't fun. It really wasn't. And the final race that we had in 2012, I have already touched upon it because it's in my memory, ingrained. And it was a banging race. Alonso won from 11th on the grid, which you can imagine was incredibly well received. And Michael Schumacher popped in a little cheeky P3.
Did he?
I don't think I've mentioned it. Where, of course, as I mentioned, Maldonado and Hamilton had a... Was it Maldonado sent a little cheeky dive bomb?
No, Lewis sent it on Maldonado. Maldonado was just like, I'm going to cut over the runoff and plow into the side of you rather than just accept that I'll finish fourth, which is a really good result.
Can you believe that was 10 years ago? I remember watching that and like losing my mind. Like, oh my God, Schumi's going to be on the podium. That was 10 years ago. God, I'm such a boomer.
Yeah, that seems like one of those races where... Similar to the good races now, because it started off a bit dull. Sebastian Vettel in the Vettel era was leading from start to finish. And then he had a car failure. There was a safety car and then all hell broke loose, which kind of that's kind of a common theme in F1 these days, especially if you think about the Mercedes era, it would normally be Hamilton winning. And it's only when Hamilton has a problem that everything goes crazy. So that was what happened.
Yeah, can you imagine, for example, Hungary?
Yeah. Like,
he's the only one starting on the grid and all of a sudden, oh my God, everything kicks off. George Russell's passing people in the pit lane. It all just goes mental. It's almost like Hamilton needs to do something bad and then everyone's like, hey, let's drive crazy.
Yeah, it's almost forgotten as well that you mentioned Maldonado with that crash, but everyone always mentions that his win was such a flash in the pan, like he never looked good ever. He actually qualified third for that race and was on for a podium. So I don't know what it is about Spain 2012 and Pastor Maldonado, but he just became an absolute legend.
I think the thing with Maldonado, it's not fair, I think, for people to say that Maldonado wasn't good. He wasn't, he made a lot of mistakes, crashed a lot.
He was
quick, he had the pace, like he had serious pace.
He annihilated Bruno Senna as well when he was, And then, like Alonso obviously becoming one thing that was interesting about that race. I'm pretty sure we did at that time when podcast on this anyway, but this was the eighth race in the year where there were seven different winners in the first seven races. So Alonso actually became the first repeat winner of the season in race eight.
That's insane.
Which is mad. And then, like Schumi getting a podium. And I think it was quite a close run thing as well with Schumi at the end. Like, is he going to do it? Pretty amazing. So you had, let me just double check, I'm pretty sure it was Alonso, Kimi, Schumi on the podium.
Don't know, all I saw was Schumi.
Yeah, Alonso, Kimi and Schumi on the podium, which is, three what F1 legends there. What a podium. Yeah. And if you look at the results of every other European Grand Prix, it's like... started first, finished first, started second, finished second, started third. Every race is kind of like one from pole. The person started second, finished second, third. And then the race in 2012, Alonso won after starting 11th. Kimi finished second, started fifth. Michael Schumacher was third, started 12th.
Sorry, who was third?
Michael Schumacher.
Ah, there we go.
Mark Webber was fourth after starting 19th. Hülkenberg fifth after starting eighth. Yeah, it was just crazy. So what a race. And then they never raced there again. They're like, we've had a banger.
Such a banger. And you'd think, hey, there's going to be a deal struck here. Just make sure we have at least one safety car and a Hamilton problem. The venue was actually meant to alternate with Catalunya from 2013. But unfortunately... Oh, not unfortunately. Maybe it was just a...
I don't know, actually.
I wasn't too fussed that the deal fell through. And it's not as if it's carried on. It's very much a popular hey guys, I'm here in Valencia at the degraded Valencia street track because nothing goes on there. But there are remnants, aren't there, of...
Yeah, so the track completely shut down in 2013. No other series or anything. And there's still little bits where there's, you know, like a concrete wall with a little Santander logo still ingrained there and stuff. So it does look quite depressing. It's very much like we've just left this here, not going to do anything else with it. But
no, it's weird, isn't it?
It is weird. This is bizarre, but having just talked about how boring Valencia was, and if you'd have told me this ages ago, I'd never would have said it, but I don't know if Catalunya is so bad that it would actually be quite refreshing if they had done it. And especially now Formula One has got a lot better and the race is more interesting and there's things like DRS and stuff. You never know. It's all speculation and maybe there's a bit of nostalgia, but maybe it would have been exciting to see it just... maybe not exciting, the lesser of two evils, to basically have Catalunya only once every 2 years,
yeah,
and alternate with another not great circuit, but it might throw something into the mix. Because 2012 proved that in a good year, when the racing was good, it could prove something, but they just relied on essentially safety cars, which is always the way, I guess, on a street track.
Yeah, Baku is a good example of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a shame, but certainly I think as well, let's not write off Catalunya after these new cars have been introduced. We haven't seen them race just yet. Frank's doing a little bark to say hello to everybody listening. Let's see, because that last chicane still exists, unfortunately, as Frank is still woofing away.
Frank is not taking any of this Spain slander. He's the biggest Catalunya fan in the world, loves the final chicane.
But let's see. I still think it's going to break up the racing, that final chicane. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be as bad as what we've seen in the past. What are your hopes for, Tommy, for this particular Spanish GP weekend? Do you think it's going to be better?
No.
Really? I think it's going to be filled, like Miami?
Yeah. Especially that final corner. I don't think the new cars will cope.
And neither does Frank. And that's a perfect time to end this podcast.
I think it is.
Whiffing away. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the first, not first, but the return of That Time When. Let us know if you enjoy these, of course, and what you want covering next on this series. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, 5 stars, thumbs up, whatever it is. Give us a good comment as well if you do really enjoy these. Thank you, Tommy, for all your time. Thank you to Frank for getting involved in the podcast as well. And we'll see you very soon for another That Time When podcast. Lots more audio stuff coming your way very soon. So we look forward to bringing that to you in the near future. Bye. Bye, Frank.
Bye, Frank. He's stopped now. He knows the podcast's over and he just doesn't care anymore.
He's such a clout chaser, isn't he? He really is.
Yeah. Follow at frank.d.sausage on Instagram.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.